Good evening. I wonder how much brain cell we have left for a day full of a wonderful, challenging theme about the Lord's coming. But I would like to share with you this thing, that it's never enough talking about somebody you love. Don't you agree?
Amen.
All right. Well, if you love the Lord Jesus, the wonderful and as wonderful as He is, talking about Him, we can sit the whole night here talking about Him. Well, don't get scared. I'm not planning to sit all night here talking about Him. I know you have bowling right ahead of you and some pizza. And I definitely was about to change my mind and come, but... But rest assured that you'll enjoy that, Lord willing. Actually, in a day like today, when we hushed mostly a lot of scriptures talking about the Lord Jesus coming, I was sitting wondering what would the Spirit of God would grab our attention to at the end of this day. And I thought maybe Romans chapter 13 would be a good portion if you want to turn to it. And I'm looking at the last few closing verse of Romans chapter 13. And I'm going to read from the New Translation, starting from verse 11, chapter 13 of Romans, and verse 11. This also knowing the time, that it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, and the day is near. Let us cast away, therefore, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, as in the day. Let us walk becomingly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and lasciviousness, not in strife and emulation, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not take forethought for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If you want to turn also to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. I'm looking at verse 16. We'll read just verses 16 and 17 for the connection's sake. One expression out of these two verses I would like to connect with what we read in Romans 13. Verse 16 of Revelation chapter 22, I, Jesus, blessed be His name, have sent mine angel to testify these things to you in the assemblies. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star, or according to the original, the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hear this say, come. And let him that thirst, or a thirst, come. He that will, let him take the water of life free. First portion that we read from Romans chapter 13 is the words of the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God. We all know that the epistle to the Romans were not the first epistle historically written. But I'm sure we all know that the Romans deals with righteousness. Deals with this question, how can a man be justified? In chapter 3 of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul comes to this conclusion. All have... Well, if you don't answer, I will kind of realize that you're half asleep.
Sin.
All have
sin.
All? That means what? 99.9%? All means 100%. Right? Everyone. You can take the word all and put your name there. Well, how can a man be justified? This is a difficult question Job asked in the Old Testament. When Job asked this difficult question in the Old Testament, he asked along with it another question. Is there somebody that would reconcile man to God? Man is all the way down. God is all the way up. Is there somebody that would be equal to God and in the same time equal to man, that would put one hand in the hand of man and put the other hand in the hand of God and reconcile fallen man to Almighty God? Can you think about it? This is a very, very difficult question. There was no answer to such a difficult question. Such a difficult question is, who would reconcile man that is fallen, that is dead in sin and trespasses, to God that is righteous, that is all holy and almighty? And Job stood before this question, handicapped, unable to answer this question. And Paul agrees with him. For all have sinned and came short to the glory of God. So is there any answer? This Savior has to have some characters. He has to be equal to God. He has to be equal to man. He has to be a God. Or he has to be God. And he has to be man. His soul has to be his own. He cannot be a created being. He has to be someone that his soul belongs to him. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. One of the philosophers in the old years of 1600 some said, well, man is miserable. Man is miserable because he is fallen. He's absolutely right. David, in his days, could realize the same thing and say, who is man? Who is man? But God, in his sovereign power, had a wonderful plan. The Lord Jesus, who is God, who is the Creator, who is the blessed forever God, came down and took a form of man. Isn't that what we were talking about this morning? The same wonderful, almighty, powerful God humbled himself. Came all the way down and became born in a manger. You know why? To identify with all of us. How many here were born in a hospital? Okay. And how many were born in a house? Okay, a few. Anybody was born in a manger?
Laid in a manger. You mean
laid in a manger. So, thank you. Anybody was laid in a manger? Along with the animals? Well, the Lord Jesus was. Yes. You know why? To go all the way down, to be as humble could be. That he would take those that are all the way down and bring them all the way up. That's what we were ending our day today. Glory.